The book of Luke. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up. Book of Luke. That is what we do over here. Open up the Bibles and try to learn something, get something from the Lord. Luke chapter 6. And good to see visitors. Good to see regulars. Most of y'all. Good to see you. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 39, and we'll cover to the end of the chapter here. The subject is hypocrisy. Y'all are going to love this. It's hypocrisy. And the Lord Jesus Christ deals with hypocrisy, you know, in this Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the most... really the most dangerous self-delusions around. It is the simple definition. You say one thing, you do something else. That's a simple definition of it. But later on, as Jesus preaches and teaches this, he's going to talk about people who say Lord, but they don't do anything he says. And he'll ask the obvious question, why do you call me Lord? You don't listen to anything I say. Why do you call me master, but you don't listen to me? And so that is a definition of a hypocrite. You say this thing, but you do something else. And he gives a couple of ridiculous illustrations about hypocrisy, but four overall illustrations. And it's sometimes some rough traveling here through the preaching of Jesus Christ, but I'll give you a couple of symptoms of hypocrisy. The first one is, you've heard it, I mean, you say one thing, you do something else. Another way of looking at it, or the way it manifests itself, is you believe that you're a teacher of something without any qualifications. You're equipped to explain and instruct, but you have no qualifications to do it. And then a hypocrite would justify the obvious disqualifications in their own life. And the way the Pharisees did it, the Pharisees are just the religious group in Jesus' day, where they dismiss their obvious disqualifications by their understanding of the Word of God. But it wasn't really even understanding of the Word of God. But by their knowledge of the Scriptures, they thought that would justify their obvious disqualifications from being instructors. Then you, as a hypocrite would grossly underestimate God's view of behavior, and particularly your own behavior. We are very good at just justifying everything we do, and if you're a Christian, then you just have a Bible verse for it, and if you're whatever other religion, you just have some other saying or whatever, some reason why you do the bad thing you do. And so you grossly underestimate God's view of behavior. He has a very high view and value, puts a high value on behavior. And then, as far as hypocrisy goes, a hypocrite would really believe there's something they're not. They truly believe there's something they're not. And these things, I mean, this level of self-deception, It's if you don't have a way of honestly assessing your own life, which Jesus is going to deal with, it is such a dark spiral of, there's just no way out of this because of all the things you think. It's a kind of a self-perpetuating prophecy. Just you think these things and I mean, you are these things. And so, anyhow, that said, here we go. I mean, this is Jesus dealing with hypocrisy. So Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 39, he starts off with kind of a ridiculous example, but it highlights an aspect of this. Verse 39 says, "And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple's not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." That's true of really any profession or anything. You're trying to be like the instructor. You're the person who's instructing is farther along the road than you are, and you're trying to be more like them. They're teaching you how to do things the way they understand to do things. So that's really true of anything. Going on, verse 41, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in your own eye? Hypocrite, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam that's in your own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that's in the brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit." That's true. You know a lemon tree by what it produces. That's why it's called a lemon tree. It's known by its fruit. That's the name of it. Things like that. "Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." That's going back to, it's going to be about hypocrisy, what you say versus what you do. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built the house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Four illustrations of hypocrisy. The first one, like I said, is a ridiculous one, but it's the blind leading the blind. It's a perfect explanation for hypocrisy in verses 39 and 40, in which you got a couple of obvious questions. I mean, just the picture of it is something in itself. But he says, "Why if you blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into a ditch, because why is this guy who's blind, who can't tell where he's going, why does he perceive himself to be able to lead someone in a direction where he doesn't even know where he's going? So where do you think you're going? Only someone who would be delusional would think it's a good idea to lead the pack when you can't see where you're going. And the obvious qualification is that if I'm leading, I ought to know where I'm going. I ought to have some idea of where I'm going. But this is the case with hypocrites. These obvious disqualifications are off limits. You can't talk about the obvious disqualification. So blind lead the blind, and that's the thing about hypocrisy. Then you justify the obvious disqualifications. But where do you think you're going? Then why are you leading people? Why are you the guy or the person that's leading? If you can't see where you're going, maybe you ought to let somebody else who can see where they're going take the lead. Maybe you ought to ask some questions. But this is the nature of religion and the Pharisees and the people that Jesus Christ came up against regularly, just regularly dealing with this stuff. You know, Even if you're blind, even if you know where you want to go, you don't have the ability to see to go there. That's this simple qualification that's overlooked. It's one of these that phrase narcissism, it comes up, it's popular now. One of these narcissistic delusions to overlook the obvious disqualification. And Jesus said later on, he would say, you make the people that follow you twofold the child of hell. Number one, you don't know where you're going, and you're not even aware of the danger that you're in. Yet you perceive yourself to be some instructor, to lead people in a direction where you can't see. Blind leading the blind, it's a good illustration. And then he says, along with that, the disciple's not above his master. Everyone that's perfect shall be as his master. That's, like I said, that's true of really any profession. You're trying to be more like the teacher. You're trying to be more like someone who's further down the road than you. And so Jesus defines Christian perfection as being like the master. He had said it earlier, you'd be like your father, which is in heaven, things like that. But this is the way the Lord talked about being like your father, be like God, be perfect like your father, things like that. So the first illustration is kind of it's a simple illustration, blind leading the blind. This is what hypocrisy is. It's this unusual but very self-delusional thing where you think you're capable of doing something without having obvious qualifications for doing it. And that was the nature of the religious people that Jesus is around. Then he says another illustration, and all this is along the same lines. Verse 42 or 41. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? That's a little thing. But perceivest not the beam that's in thine own eye. You got to, you're focused on this little thing. But you don't seem to be as concerned about the big problem that's in your life. But you're very focused. We're able we're incredibly good at this. Able to find criticisms in other people's lives without being able to self-criticize, without being able to assess our own lives. And this is what Jesus Christ is talking about. So he says, look, you find some little thing wrong with somebody else, with your brother, but you don't seem to understand the bigger problems in your own life. He says, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, there's the word. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that's in thy brother's eye. I mean, again, it's kind of a ridiculous illustration, but you got somebody who's got a little thing in their eye, then you've got somebody who's got like a 2x4 coming out, and it's like you can't see. How are you able to judge? And why do you think that this thing in their life is worth addressing, but the thing in your life isn't? And the thing in your life is much bigger. It's a much bigger problem. Well, but that's the nature of hypocrisy. It's so self-delusional. And when it comes to, what we believe, let me deal with this a little bit. When it comes to what we believe, I think most people generally believe what's familiar to you. We believe things that are familiar to us, and things we've heard, things that we've been passed down to us, but we tend to believe what we want to believe that's comfortable to believe, and it's been around us for a while. But with that said, you know, when you read the Bible, if you study the Bible, you read the Bible. I'm gonna ask you something, because this deals with self-judgment. It deals with self-criticism. When's the last time you read the Bible, you heard something from the Bible that actually changed your life? I mean, it actually changed a perspective about things that in turn changed some decisions you might make. Or it actually changed your life. Because when I said that we believe things that are familiar to us, that's generally true when it comes to the Bible, even. And we're unable to allow the words of God to actually address things in our lives, so you become like the person that can identify these problems in other people's lives without ever addressing the big things going on in your own life. The mote in their eye, but the beam in your eye. And so ask yourself that question. When's the last time something from the Lord, from the words of God, actually got into your life and changed something about your life? Maybe it changed sin. You know, you stopped doing something you shouldn't do, or you started doing something you should do. When did that happen? And I ask these questions because, again, the nature of hypocrisy is to avoid any sort of self-reflection in a meaningful way. I mean, I think we would all say, "Oh yeah, I'm a sinner. Oh yeah, I do bad stuff. Okay. Oh yeah, you got me. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect." Well, we all know. Okay, that's not news to anybody. But that's also such a general idea. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any value to your own life and your own self-reflection. And so when I ask these questions about when's the last time your life actually changed because of the words of God, because of, you know, what are we doing in church? What are we trying to do? What are we here for? What is the point of all of this? We want to be edified. You want to get something out of the Bible. We want to get something out of the words of God. When's the last time it actually meant something enough to you to look introspectively and say, you know what? That stuff needs to get out of my life. Or that stuff needs to get into my life. Those things, in a hypocritical life, you are incapable, or I shouldn't say incapable. That's not right. You're allergic to self-reflection that has any value. We'll say, "Oh, I learned something in the Bible. I learned a cross-reference, or I learned this. I never saw that in the Old Testament. I never saw that." Okay, you learned something. Good. What is it doing? What change does it make? Not that all our lives are so horrible that you need to make changes every week. You can never do that, really. But the point is, when's the last time it happened? When's the last time there was enough self-reflection to say, you know what, I need to address the beam that's in my eye. I need to deal with this. I think it's tough. I mean, most of us just don't have the character to ask ourselves any real questions about our own lives. Just don't want to. That goes to the fact that we believe the things that are comfortable to believe. And we don't want to ask hard questions. But that's hypocrisy. That's the definition of it. I don't want to deal with any of my disqualifications in my own life. I want to be able to observe. I can observe problems. I'm incredibly good at finding problems. But then finding problems in other people's lives. But what about my life? But then what about dealing with the problems in my life? I don't know. People, it's tough to stomach those kinds of questions. The idea that we might be wrong in areas we've already made a lot of decisions about in our lives. I mean, seriously, you get to, I'm realizing this, and this becomes a thing as you get older. I don't know how many young people, but this becomes a thing, at least it has in my life. But you come to these crossroads, and you find out, you know what? I believe something that may not be right. And then the question is, well, do I want to change that? Or, I don't have much time left, I don't think. So is it worth going through the struggle of the change? And those are real things. Maybe it doesn't happen to you, it happens to me, because I'm constantly thinking about this stuff. But then it becomes do I have the motivation to want to address this? Which, if you don't have the motivation to address it, welcome to hypocrisy. That's the deal. So Jesus Christ is dealing with this stuff with other people. And, you know, the irony about hypocrisy, one of them is we're incredibly diligent when it comes to somebody else's problems. But because of that hypocrisy and being one of the most really damning conditions of the human soul, just deficient in the ability to assess our own lives. So Lord Jesus Christ deals with this stuff. Then he says this. So you got the blind leading the blind. You've got somebody who's pointing out this little thing in somebody else's life. They're unwilling to address the big things in their own lives. Then he talks about this tree. Tree is known by its fruit. Verse 43, for good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble brush gather they grapes. You don't look in a thorn bush for grapes. Obviously, you don't look into a cactus to find, you know, lemons or whatever the thing is. That's the idea. Every tree is known by its fruit. You got an apple tree. It's an apple tree. It's called an apple tree. That's what it's known by. Why is it known by that? Because that's the fruit it produces. It's apples. It's a lemon tree. It's known by its fruit. It's lemons. Stuff like that. Pecan tree. Verse 44, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. He speaks good things. That's what's coming out of his mouth. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. That's the fruit. That's what you know by their fruit. In Proverbs, Solomon would say it this way. He would say, a man shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. Communication. A lot of stuff in life is just communication. Just what comes out of your mouth. And that's how things move. That's how things get done. That's how a lot of life is that way. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The mouth of the righteous, Solomon would say, is a tree of life. But that goes all the way back to this tree illustration of what's coming out of the heart. What's coming out of the heart's coming out of the mouth. The mouth is just the overflow of the heart. What's in your heart? There may be good things in the heart, but what the most of, that's what's coming out. That's what's coming out. Tree is known by its fruit. John the Baptist would say things. He would warn the religious leaders. Now it was the axe laid to the root of the tree. Several illustrations of this tree here. But hypocrisy, in this case, truly believes it's something it's not. Just truly believe you're something you're not. Really believe that I am this thing, and it's such a... What do they call that? You know, the echo chamber. It's just such a self-deluding idea. You believe you're something you're not, and Jesus says, look, this is how you know what you are. The blind can't lead the blind. Otherwise, everybody falls into a ditch. You can't judge something in someone else until you're able to judge the things in your own life. Get the board, get the thing out of your own eye before you start picking it into somebody else's eye. A tree is known by its fruit. That's what it is. This is what the tree is. But a hypocrite doesn't believe that. Don't believe that's what they are. Don't believe their mouth is full of hypocrisy. They believe they're something else. They believe they're a teacher. They believe they're whatever their delusion is. Really believe that stuff. And then at the end of this thing, verse 46, here's somebody being a hypocrite. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, verse 46, and do not the things which I say? Why are you giving me this title and this reference and this reverence? At least with your mouth. But your lives don't prove this out. Verse 47, whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. This is a description that helps you understand that God values behaviors. You hear what Jesus says, but you're not going to do it. Well, in the first verse there in 46, that's hypocrisy. At least if you're calling him Lord, it's hypocrisy. If you don't call him Lord, okay, well, at least you're not that. But if you call him Lord, why aren't you doing the things he says? The Lord values. He values behavior. I know we're afraid of that, but he values behavior. He doesn't. The profession, the confession, the what you say, that can be part of it, but he values behavior. Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I say? That's hypocrisy. And let me tell you what the man is like that does that. He builds his house on sand or builds his house on earth. And when the floods come, the things get destroyed. But if you hear my words, Jesus says, and you're willing to build upon those words, well, let me liken him to somebody who built their house on a rock. And when the floods come and the storm comes, the house stands. Well, it's built on a rock. Paul would say it that way in 1 Corinthians 3, where he talks about no other foundation can man lay, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build on that foundation, that's what Jesus is talking about. It's a foundation. Don't call me Lord and then ignore me. It's hypocrisy. So here's some things that go along with that. Jesus would say later on in John, he would say, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep follow me. They hear my voice. Not that they just hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Jesus would say it in another way, or at least Matthew would record it this way, about people calling him Lord. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's the ones that have access. The shepherd knows his sheep. That's John chapter 10. There's this. Paul would say it this way in Corinthians. He would say, examine yourselves. See if you be in the faith. And here's some examination questions. Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes tough stuff. But here's some examination questions. He talks about in this case, you build your house on sand or just the earth, and then the storm comes and the thing falls apart. He talks about it being a great fall in Matthew 7. Just a great fall. Great destruction. I think Paul talks about a great falling away. Romans, Hebrews, all those talk about falling away. Falling. Point is, not built on a foundation, not built on the words of God, not built on what Jesus said here. So all of these things, you got four things that deal with hypocrisy in various ways. Just this incredible, there's entitlement, there is this inability to self-reflect in any meaningful way that has any value at all. you know, you just kind of, yeah, I'm a sinner, I'm not perfect, okay, yeah. Well, are we going to, can we deal with any of these things that are problems or no? Because those ideas, yeah, we all understand, hey, sinners, yeah, we're all sinners, we get it. But a hypocrite has no desire to reflect in any meaningful way and observe their own lives and see, you know what, maybe I ought to get this thing out of my own life before I start making these criticisms of other people's lives, or before I think I'm some instructor, or I think I can teach people without obvious qualifications to teach people, or obvious disqualifications. So that's the nature and the symptoms and the illustrations here of hypocrisy. But we can't just end on, okay, that's hypocrisy. How do you fix that? Because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get to. It's like, cut through the hypocrisy and let's get this stuff fixed. Quit calling me Lord and not doing the things I say. Quit thinking you're something you're not. Quit trying to lead people when you're obviously disqualified from doing it. The first thing he says is in verse 40. Get qualified by the master. The servant's not above his master. The disciple's not above his master. Verse 40. Everyone that's perfect shall be as his master. You want to be qualified to lead? Well, be like Christ. You're going to call him Lord? Well, follow him. Get qualified by the master. How do you treat hypocrisy? You allow yourself to get qualified according to the qualifications that the master sets. He's the one that sets the terms. He's the one that does the qualifying. He's the one that tells you what you're going to need to know, what you're going to need to do. Listen to him. Follow those steps. Whatever it is. Whatever needs to be done. Whatever needs to be dealt with. Verse 42 is the second one. Get the beam out of your own eye. that's an idea. But to actually do that, that takes some courage. First of all, it takes courage to say, you know what, I'm wrong. I've been wrong. I am wrong. And I need help. I need help to make this right. I need help to do right. Get the beam out of your own eye. You know what we ought to do? We ought to stop doing this. I put it this way. When I watch a movie, when you watch a movie, when you read the Bible, and I read the Bible, we do this naturally. We put ourselves in the position of either the hero or the victim. Every time. If there's a promise in the Bible, it's to me. If there's a victim in the Bible, I was victimized. I'm the one that's being mistreated. So we read verses about mistreatment, me. I'm mistreated. God's going to help me because I'm mistreated. You and I ought to stop reading the Bible. And not stop reading the Bible. Maybe you should. I don't know. You and I ought to stop reading the Bible as the hero and the victim. And maybe start reading it as the perpetrator. Maybe we're not Job in the story. Maybe we're Job's friends. Maybe we're not Jesus Christ on the cross, we're Judas Iscariot. Maybe we're not the hero in the story. Maybe we're not even the victim in the story. And I'll say it, even if you're not the perpetrator, it would help you and help me at least consider the possibility that we're not the heroes. And we're not the victims either. And every verse that says God's going to bless this person, maybe we're not that person. Maybe it's talking about somebody who's better than us. And so when you read the Bible, just consider it an exercise. Don't read yourself into the hero portion. Don't read yourself into the victim portion. Maybe read yourself into the bad guy portion. And consider, you know, maybe I identify more with the guy that's doing the wrong thing. And at least it'll get you out of this echo chamber. I mean, that's the word now, but I mean, it gets you out of this self-delusion of that's who I am every time I read the Bible. That's and if I'm reading the Bible, then that's who God thinks I am. God thinks I'm the victim. God thinks I'm the hero. No. If you consider reading it in a different way or listening to it. I mean, even with movies, I mean, you identify with the hero or the victim more than the bad guy. Get the beam out of your own eye first. Deal with that. How can I avoid this hypocrisy? Oh, I can be courageous enough to be self-reflective in a meaningful way that's actually going to change maybe some of my behavior, maybe some of my decisions. Get the beam out of your own eye. Third thing goes kind of along with that. But make the obvious judgment about your life that everybody already knows. I think a lot of times we just kind of hobble along in life pretending nobody knows the obvious thing. It's time to just deal with the obvious thing that everybody knows. It's not a secret. Everybody's watching. We've been watching for years. Make the obvious judgment about your life that everybody already knows. A tree's known by its fruit. Can you imagine a lemon tree? That's not what I am. It's not what I am. It's not what I am. I'm a whatever, an apple tree. I'm a fig tree. No, it's not what you are. And we can all see that. It's easily observable. Make the obvious judgment about your life that everybody already knows. That can go into reading the Bible a certain way that we just talked about. And quit thinking that what you know about the Bible makes you saved or important. This was the problem. Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I say? Yeah, but we're in Jesus' time, it's Pharisees. Yeah, but we're teachers of the Scriptures. Are, but you don't do anything I tell you to do. You're not right with God because you perceive yourselves teachers as you think you know something that people don't know. Quit thinking what you think you know about the Bible makes you saved or important. Instead, start doing the Bible. Do it. Do what it says. Nike, just do it. Just do it. Do what it says. So treating hypocrisy, and it's tough. It's tough. I gotta get it. I didn't really want to preach this morning, but anyway, here it is. So that's where we are. Yeah, you know, and that's kind of the, I guess, one of the advantages of going through just book by book. You just deal with stuff that's there, you know. You don't get to pick and choose how you want to fire from the pulpit, so to speak. You just have to deal with what's here. But I know we can all be this way. We all have hypocrisy in us. We all have the ability to say something that we don't do. We all have the ability to criticize other people in ways that we won't criticize ourselves. We all have the ability to justify obvious disqualifications in our own lives. So how do you fix these things? You get qualified by the master. He's the one that sets the rules. He's the one that sets the goals and the parameters and what is perfection? What is expertise in this field? The master sets that. Get qualified by the master, verse 40. The disciple's not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Number two, get the beam out of your own eye. It takes courage, though. It takes courage to be wrong and accept that. It takes courage to self-reflect in a way that actually has value and meaning. And then number three, make the obvious judgment about your life that everybody already knows, really. Make the obvious judgment. Trees known by its fruit. Know what it is. You know what you're dealing with. People around you probably know what you're dealing with. But we are good, so good at justifying ourselves. How do you do that? Well, stop making yourself the hero and the victim of every story. You're not. You're just not. Quit thinking you think you know something you don't. Quit thinking that, you know, allow yourself to be taught by the Lord, by the words of God. How do you allow that? Well, if it's going to change my life, okay, I'm being taught by it. It's going to change my perspective on things. And I know I'm being taught by it. And quit thinking your knowledge is better and more valuable to God than your behavior. It's not. God will take someone who behaves well and may not know as much as you think you know over somebody whose head is so full of information that they think they know about God but won't put it to practice. You have more warnings about being doers of the word, not just hearers only, than you do about, hey, don't get so much knowledge about this stuff. Behavior is important. Behavior is important. So these things about hypocrisy, hope that they're helpful. It's some tough going. But as Sam comes and plays, we'll have some little time of reflection here. And just think about these things. It can be tough, I know. It's hard. But let's think about them. You can bow your heads, close your eyes if you want to. Just have a little time of reflection. And then we'll be dismissed. But as Sam plays, we have a little time of reflection here.